Octoramus sighed and ran a hand over her brow, then said, "It might help if you could at least explain why you can't tell us."
"Of course," Kent said. "Quite simply, it's because I gave my word."
"You gave your word?" Kip repeated. "And you expect us to trust that?"
Inwardly, Kent was cursing Boitu's coma and the assassin's bad timing. But outwardly, he shrugged and gave Kip a half-smile.
"Hoped might be a better word."
This actually drew a smile from Kip.
"I guess I can believe that."
"Well, I can't," Corin said. He rose and straightened his robes. "I'm sorry, Grandmaster Hamner, but I think you're just stalling."
Saba rose as well.
"This one, too," she said. "The time has come to launch, and there are Sith out there, and Master Skywalker needs our help."
"And what do you think is going to happen when you go?"
Kent demanded.
"The entire Sixth Fleet is waiting in orbit, and they will fire on you, I promise."
"We will elude them,"
Saba said simply.
"And when Mandalorians return to storm the temple?"
"We will kill them, as we did before,"
Saba replied.
"The time for restraint has passed. There are beings out there more fearsome than Mandalorians. And if we do not act soon, they will be the ones ruling Coruscant."
Saba turned away, signaling that the debate was over, and started for the door. When the other masters followed, Kent knew his gamble had backfired. They were tired of waiting, of sitting on their hands while Luke and Ben and Jaina confronted a whole tribe of Sith. And no amount of reason was going to stop them, even if he broke his word to Boitu and revealed what the GA military had in store for them. So Kent placed his hand on his lightsaber and stood.
"No!"
Saba stopped at his sharp tone and turned to face him.
"Please, Master Hamner, do not make this harder than it needs to be."
"And don't think you can do it any other way."
Kent started toward her, still gripping his lightsaber, and continued.
"I was placed in this office by Grandmaster Skywalker. And if you want to remove me, you won't do it by ignoring me. You'll have to do it the old-fashioned way."
Saba's gaze dropped to his weapon hand. Her tongue flicked between her lips, and Kent knew then that he had found her limit. She wasn't prepared to fight another Jedi for control of the Order. Not when there were so many other things for the Jedi to fight. Trying to press his advantage and settle the issue once and for all, Kent stepped closer, looking from Saba to the others.
"Is there anyone here willing to take it that far?"
That was when the Masters surprised him again. Instead of averting their eyes or attempting to stare him down, they turned almost as one toward Corin Horn. And it grew obvious to Kent that he was the one who had pushed matters too far, that his life and the future of the entire Jedi Order depended on what kind of man Corin Horn really was. Corin stood lost in thought, his gaze so distant and sad and vacant that Kent was not sure he even understood what was being asked of him. The other masters remained silent, and it took all of Kent's willpower to do the same. He wanted to grab Corin by the shoulders and shake him hard and demand that he stand for the Alliance and restraint and political process. Instead, he stood silent with the other masters, awaiting the verdict of a man whose children Kent had allowed to remain frozen in carbonite for months. After a time, Corin's eyes seemed to focus again, and he looked up and met Kent's gaze.
"No, we're not ready for that."
He shook his head and started for the door again.
"Not yet."